This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It's February 12th, 2020. 2020. I can see clearly now. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host. No, wait a second. Without my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch. She's homesick in bed. Yeah, the doctor gets sick too. Isn't that awful? Oh, well, it happens. So this is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show and are listening live, you can call me, but you're going to have to wait until I'm not talking because I can't pick up the phone. But you could call at 860-486-9487, or you can email me at bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com. If you're listening to this on podcast, you can send an email to bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com, or you can visit and comment at Bicycle Talk on Facebook. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on WHUS.org, iTunes, or now on Spotify. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. Okay, I'm going to start us out with Ron's Rant of the Week. The unprepared cyclist, you know who you are. The person, okay, we're talking tubes, tools, pumps, and dressed poorly for the conditions. So are you the unprepared cyclist? Are you the one who doesn't have a spare tube with you? Do you not have a set of tire irons to take care of it? Do you not have a pump to take care of a flat tire? I'm talking about the most basic things right here. And then the dressed poorly for conditions. This is my favorite time of year because right now we have out there a number of folks who attend the University of Connecticut, and they're all really young. And they seem to think that 30 degrees is okay for shorts. And it just, I look and I just go, oh my God, what are you thinking? Obviously, you have not done this before, or you're new at this, or you have some sort of bizarre body that can handle this sort of thing. I'm a real big believer in keeping covered up all the way up to 70 degrees. Keep your knees warm. They're the only ones you have. And I can tell you, when they get older, like mine are, it will come back to haunt you if you weren't nice to them. So anyway, are you the unprepared cyclist? That's the question. That's my rant of the week. I see it all too often. I'm just reminding you now, as we work our way through, the sign at the local nursery said only 6 weeks till spring. So, hey, get ready. It's coming. And for those of you who are listening to me and you're in Southern California and you know who you are, I know who you are. Well, I can't say it on the radio, but anyway, good for you. It's awfully nice that it's warm there. And my friends down in Florida, also very nice that it's warm there, but it's cold up here. On a positive side, okay, this one is big deal. This one's a really big deal. I like this because USA Cycling, the governing body of bicycle racing, has just announced the 2019 Club of the Year. And guess who it is? Friends of the show. Yep. Right here in Connecticut. Connecticut Cycling Advancement Program, CCAP, from Middletown, Connecticut. It's a nonprofit organization that boasts over 560 riders. I believe it's almost up 100 right now from that number. 85 coaches, over 36 events in 2019, with a mission to ensure all Connecticut youth and their families have access and exposure to an organized statewide youth cycling league. CCAP hosts, practices, and clinics of varying skill levels across all disciplines, and safe, fun, and low-risk community events to get new riders involved. With steady growth since 2013's inception, CCAP saw likely its greatest challenge this past year with the loss of their executive director, David Hoyle. We do miss you, Dave. We really do. They honored his example of verve and positivity by having one of the best seasons yet, and will continue to hashtag ride like Dave, by the way, if you want to do that. So anyway, that's a pretty big deal. We're really, really happy to know that this is right here in our backyard. It's so cool. And Jed has now taken over the helm of that organization. And if he is listening today, call me, please, because we need to talk about getting you on the air. I'd love to have you on the air. You can tell me a little bit more about what's going on with CCAP. If not, I will reach out to you. The maintenance minute is next on my list. Time to look over your cycling gear and maybe replace some of that clothing. You got holes in your clothing. You've got chamois that are not so friendly to your body anymore. Maybe it's time to take a look and go, you know what? It's 2020. Let me get myself a new pair of shorts or maybe three or four. I'm not trying to promote, you know, clothing sales at all. I'm trying to make it more comfortable for you. Let's think about it from the angle of let's be more comfortable on our bikes for 2020. And while you're at it, I want you to go to your bicycle and or go to your hydration bag, and I want you to open them up and spread everything out on the floor or wherever you have a clean place to do it, and take a look at, and let's do a little inventory. Check and see if you have spare tubes, one or two, maybe some patches. Maybe you have a boot that you use to repair that that tire when it gets sliced really badly. Whatever it is, maybe you have a couple of bucks inside that bag so you can use that in case of an emergency. You need to check it out and take a really serious look at your seat bag or hydration bag and be sure that you have everything that you need for an emergency. That's my maintenance minute. That was almost a minute, too. That's like rare for me. I usually rant far longer into that. So I'm going to move on into the show. I got a few things coming up, which are really cool. One of them is, I'm going to touch base on something I've been talking about for the last three episodes of Bicycle Talk, and it is the coronavirus. Yeah, the coronavirus has been kind of a problem. And of course, in past episodes, I have reported to you that the coronavirus could disrupt industry travel and production to anything here related in anywhere in the world, really, as far as that goes, because it's primarily in China and we get most of our equipment and product out of China. But also there's the Taipei show, and the Taipei show has been threatening to, they haven't been really threatening, but they've been talking about the possibility of not having the Taipei show this year, which is the biggest bike show in the world, for especially when it comes to product development with all the companies. And they said the show must go on as of last week. Well, guess what? As of February 7th, the Taipei Cycle Show has been canceled, and they are planning a smaller event, which will actually be in May. So just so you know, the Taipei show is alive and kicking. It is definitely going to happen, but it's going to happen under healthier conditions, which is good and really good for all my friends that are product managers out there in the bicycle world, because I don't want you going over there getting sick and then not coming home. So that's a good thing. So May is when the Taipei show will be back in action again, which is very, very late. And that is going to cause all sorts of interesting problems with supply in the industry, if you've ever been in the bike industry or if you are in the bike industry and are listening to this show right now. We're going to move on to a more positive note here. I have special guests today. Yay, special guests. I love special guests. So you know how I always ask, if you want to be a guest on the show, please just reach out to me and let me know, and we will put you on the air. Today I have a returning guest, who is Billy Dujak, who is also a good friend of the show, and he has brought with him Ashley Ford. Billy is a 64-year-old young. Oh, I didn't say it. I said old. 64 years young, retired, unemployed salesman. He grew up in Metro New York area and never really took cycling seriously until his mid-50s. Shame on you. When he got involved with Leukemia Society and Team in Training, that's when he got into cycling. Since 2010, he has been a volunteer for LLS, a mentor, advocate, team captain, and coach. This year, his personal fundraising will exceed $100,000. Oh my God, you are a rock star, Billy. This will be his ninth trip out to Lake Tahoe to ride 100 miles in America's Most Beautiful Bike Ride. Along with Billy, we have Ashley Ford. She's 31 years young and grew up in Naugatuck, Connecticut. She's been working for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Team in Training for the past 3 years. Ashley has joined Billy in Tahoe for the last for the past 2 years, not as a rider, but by cheering on riders at the infamous Truckee Rest Stop. We'll have to touch base on that. She is an avid sports fan and is a super fan of the New York Mets. Go Mets. Yeah, there you go. I have friends who are big-time Mets fans. So anyway, Ashley and Billy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Oh,
thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. It's my pleasure. So Billy has already been through this drill, but Ashley, you have not been through this drill. So you're going to have to do this because every new guest to the show has to relate to me their first experience that they can remember of being on a bicycle.
Oh, God. Okay. So my first experience of being on a bicycle is I was riding along with my dad and my brother, and I decided to stop, and my brother decided not to, hit the back of my bike and went flying over the handlebars. So it's funny now to look at. At the time, it was not, but definitely the first memory I have of being on a bike.
That's great. That's great. And off the bike, too, at the same time.
Bike. Right. Yes.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. A little bit of both. So, you know, I don't know what it is, but there's probably an 80%, maybe higher, rate of dad being in that conversation. It's really interesting. Dads put their kids on bikes, whereas moms are not mentioned as much. So, moms, I'm gonna yell out to you on this one. Let's get more involved. And Laura Mullaly is probably she's probably just going nuts here listening to this right now. She is also a friend of the show, and she will be on the show sometime soon too, because she's a mom who's got her entire family into cycling. She's also a rock star. So, anyway, we're going to talk a little bit more about what you guys are doing here. And I guess I should start with Billy on this. And how did Team in Training get started? Do you want to do the history lesson, or Ashley, would you like to do the history lesson?
I think I can do that.
Okay.
First of all, shame on me for not starting cycling into my mid-50s.
That's okay.
Well, I smoked a pack and a half of cigarettes from when I was 16 years old till when I was 55. So
that'll slow you down.
That tends to, you know. And back in my earlier years, I was a partaker of, you know, an occasional botanical substance.
And puff of something.
Yeah, that kind of took you down, too. But
it's all natural.
Yeah, it truly is.
Yeah.
You know, I've been involved with Team in Training since 2010. And, you know, you learn a lot and you meet a lot of great people here. It'd be difficult for me to talk about the history of Team in Training without mentioning a lady named Lucy Duffy. Lucy was in her 50s. She was a school teacher here in Connecticut. And her husband, Alan, was diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia. For those of you who know blood cancers, AML is probably one of the worst ones out there.
It's a big-time bummer.
Oh, it really is. And so Lucy decided that, and this is long before people started running for charity. Okay, so this was back in 1986, way back in 1986. she decided she was going to run the New York City Marathon, first time she had ever run a marathon, and that she was going to try to raise some money for, at the time, was called the Leukemia Society of America. So she did some training. She did some running. She made a T-shirt that said Lucy Against Leukemia, printed up a bunch of pamphlets to hand out on the run, and she went out and she ran the Boston Marathon, New York City Marathon. She ended up raising over $200,000. And Alan, her husband, who had gone into remission, he drove her to the start of the race, and he couldn't make it to the race, so he stayed in the hotel room and watched it. And there's a section of a speech she gives. It's called Running Through Grief, and I'd like to read that for you right now. And this tells you a lot about Lucy and what she did. She said, I wore a shirt which said Lucy Against Leukemia while I ran through all five boroughs of New York, surveyed the crowd, and handed out little self-made solicitations for our cause. I ran, I flew, I floated. Nothing could stop me. At mile 16 mark, just over the Queensboro Bridge on 1st Avenue and 65th Street, my family was waiting for me and paused for hugs and kisses. Two of my four sons joined me in Central Park to run the last 2 miles. Alan watched on the TV from his hotel room. We were both heroes that day. He was alive, and I finished the marathon and raised over I said $200,000, it's $20,000 to fight leukemia. Alan died a month later.
Oh,
a giant wave of loss kept catching up with me and enveloping me. I cried and I cried and I ran. About 2 years later, a fellow named Bruce Cleland had heard about Lucy and said he was forming a group of runners to run the New York City Marathon. They'd hired a coach, and they called themselves the Team in Training, and wondered if Lucy would run with them. And she did. Team in Training in 1988 raised $300,000 for the Leukemia Society of America, and Team in Training was born.
Wow.
Since then, we have raised over $1.5 billion to fight leukemia and other blood cancers, and we have trained over 650,000 athletes out there.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive, guys.
It's really impressive.
We are still, to this date, as far as I know, Ashley, we are still the largest endurance charity organization in the world.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep. Okay. Yep. A lot of people do this. You know, we have branched out into various other sports as well, but that's how we got started, was back from a woman. And Lucy is a good friend of mine. Somehow over the years, I don't know how, we became friends, but I call her every time I'm out in Lake Tahoe, and she's now 87 years old. She rode Lake Tahoe in 2011 when she was 78, and everybody was saying, she'll never make it. And I said, you don't know anything about this woman.
Yeah.
Determination is in her name. She still runs sprint marathons.
It's amazing.
At 87 years old.
That's incredible. That's really incredible.
I'm sorry, 87 years young.
Yeah. Yeah, there's, you know, there are some remarkable stories out there with people. It's pretty cool. Wow. So that was the beginning of Team in Training. You know, when I, a number of years ago, actually the year of 9/11, actually, I flew over to Dublin, Ireland with some friends of mine, and we ran the Dublin Marathon, and there was a big group from Team in Training there.
You can't miss the purple.
Yeah, yeah, they were all there. They were actually on the same. We flew out of Boston, and they were on the same plane as us and all, so it's kind of cool, but they're a very enthusiastic group.
Always.
Well, now, is it true, I have to ask you this, about the Dublin Marathon, do they serve Guinness at the rest stops?
I suppose you could arrange that, but that is not usually what they do.
So that was a falsehood. Okay.
No, but it's a great story. It is a great story, for sure. No, they do serve Guinness everywhere else, though. And and of course, the Guinness, the plant, the factory, whatever you want to call it, the brewery, is right there in Dublin. So,
well,
yeah, and then they do a fancy little thing with the foam on the top, put a little clover leaf on it and all. It's very, very clever.
Well, you realize that if it wasn't for Guinness, the Irish would be a world power.
Do you think it's caused problems?
It may have, yeah.
Well, you know why?
Why?
Because it's not the Guinness we get here.
Oh, I know that, but I'm just saying.
It's sweet. It's not bitter.
Yeah.
No, I know.
What we get here is bitter because they pasteurize it and they ruin it. And, yeah, you know, we won't get into that. But anyway, Ashley, tell me about your mantra.
Yeah, so Team in Training has our mantra. It's the first, the best, the team. And it really goes back to what Billy was saying. We were the first endurance program with Charity Bibs. So we started what is now known as Charity Bibs for all these events that you see out there. We're the best because we offer the best experience. We give you firsthand coaching. We give you live coaching. We give you coaching on the through apps and the computer. And then event weekend, there's nothing like event weekend, which I'm sure Billy and I will get into at some point. You really experience from start to finish the absolute best experience you can have. And then the team. We are Team in Training. You have your local team. You have your Facebook team. You have your their event team. So you have a community, you have a friend, and you are a team. So we are the first, the best, and the team. So that's kind of a mantra that we've adopted throughout Team in Training.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool. So, obviously, I touched on the marathon thing, but what other events does team and training do?
Yeah, so we do everything from hike, cycle, half marathons, marathons, triathlons, Ironman. So if you want to get out there and raise money for an amazing cause, we have an event for you. We also have entry into those exclusive events like the Chicago's, the Boston's, New York, Dublin. I think Berlin is one of our big ones this year, London. So we have those options to get into those exclusive events that a lot of people aren't able to get into.
Oh, that's really cool. So if you're interested in doing like a big one like that, and for some reason you were unable to get in, if you can get in through the back door through team and training?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Just call you. All right. All right. Well, we'll talk about that later on. That's good. All right. So your official role with Team and Training is?
I am the Team and Training campaign manager. So I'm the person to talk to when you want to get into these events, find out more about what the commitment is, fundraising, things like that, what if there's hotel options, if there's not hotels. So that's kind of my role, and I'm the go-to for all things Team and Training here in the chapter. So.
Okay, and we have to be a little sensitive. We are public radio, and we can't talk about prices, but is there some sort of a cost to being involved in something like this?
Not so much cost, more just your fundraising for the cause. And there's a we really try to make it not cost you, because we want as much money to go back, and we want to cure blood cancer. So
yeah, so it's all about, you know, raising funds.
Exactly.
Rather than having to dig into your own pockets for anything like this.
Exactly.
Very cool. Very, very cool. All right, well, that gives you a little bit more incentive too.
Absolutely.
I'm sure. And then of course you have to do, you know, you have to train, right? You have to train. And I know Billy's got, you know, he's the big, I get the emails all the time. Hey, we're leaving from Saybrook Point, or we're doing this, or we're doing that. Come join us for this ride. And you have, Billy, you've got like training rides and such.
Yeah, the way we do it is, we have two other cycle coaches. Shout out to Nat Conacher and shout out to Paul Burke, my two cycling coaches, and two great friends. We run training rides every Saturday, starting the first Saturday in March. And everybody goes, March? Well, I've had a couple of people already call me. He says, well, I don't really get into those cold weather rides. I said, well, we are also having a clinic beforehand on how to dress.
Yes.
For this weather.
And I would be one of those, you know, people that, yes, that is somewhat allergic to the cold. But I'm going to tell you, you know, if you want to do an indoor event, I will donate my time and my expertise training some people.
Well,
indoors.
The fact of the matter is, unless it is 20 degrees and unless the roads are unsafe, we ride the first Saturday in March. Now, cutoff, under 30 degrees. If it's over 30 degrees at the time of start, we ride. So, and there's a reason for that, and I'll tell people this. We had one person who said, well, I don't really like the cold weather rides. I says, well, keep in mind a couple of things. You're going to be in Lake Tahoe in June. Your roll time is going to be about 6:20 a.m. At 6:20 a.m. in South Lake Tahoe, the temperature could be anywhere from 30 degrees to 45 to 65 degrees. It warms up real fast. You're at high altitude, and that sun comes out, and it will be 75 to 80 degrees by the time you finish the ride. But it's dry heat.
Okay.
But there's something to be said for that. So
there is. It's very, very different. There's no question about
that.
And
here's something else. Riding by yourself in 35-degree weather is horrible. I will admit it. Ron will admit it. Anybody who rides a bicycle will admit it. There's something about riding with a group of people where you're all kind of suffering in the same area. By the time you hit the first hill, you forgot that it's 35 degrees out, if you're dressed properly.
Mm-hmm.
If you're dressed properly. And that's one of the things we stress. You know, we hold mini clinics in addition to our rides. You know, now you just don't do one ride a week. We're going to give you a schedule with some serious suggestions as to what you should be doing the week. Possibly a rest day on Monday. Tuesday, go out, do 25 miles above pace. Wednesday, cross train. Thursday, do 25 miles below pace. Friday, cross train. Saturday, ride. Sunday, very big recovery ride.
Mm-hmm.
Best thing in the world to do after you've done a really hard ride is to go out and just spin your legs for 25 miles.
Don't even get me started on recovery. I am the king of recovery.
So am I.
I preach it all the time.
You know, and it's hard.
People don't understand what riding slow is all about and why it's so important.
Well, we're fortunate where I live is that we have the Farmington River Trails.
That helps.
I mean, and that is beautiful because it is flat and it is empty when you go out on Sunday morning because everybody is still, you know, had a very good time Saturday night and are still not out yet. So,
or they're off to church,
which is the
other side of that.
Well, there's that too.
So yes, it is a quieter time. I agree.
And it's a wonderful time to just go out.
It's perfect.
Anytime you're on your bike in Connecticut is a wonderful time. Ron and I will agree with that.
That's right.
That's why we're here.
That's exactly why we're here.
You know, people say, how come you're not on Strava? I says, because I don't need to see how much slower I'm going every year.
Yeah, you know, I have app phobia. But anyway, Fran is all over Zwift right now. She is just riding
God bless her.
A mad woman on Zwift. And I know a lot of other people that are too. And it's a great training tool. I won't discount it in any way because I think it is a great training tool. But it's, I teach my classes. Wow. I know that I can only participate in two of those classes a week at high intensity. Otherwise, I have to teach the class. Otherwise, I will be cooked. So,
yeah, you sound like my spin instructor, Elmer. Oh, shout out to you, Elmer Demers, if you're listening.
Oh, there you go.
He crippled us this morning.
Yeah.
So I don't go necessarily for apps. I like being in a room with other people.
I do, too. Well, you're a people person. That's why.
You think?
Yeah, I've noticed just a slight indication that you're a people person.
I ride harder. I ride stronger. And I'm going to push myself when I've got people around me.
Well, you feed off the energy, you know.
Exactly.
As an instructor, and I've been instructing now for over 16 years, when I go into a room and that room is filled to capacity, it's a different class. It's a total, and it could be the same class I always teach. It could be the same, you know, the same exercise, whatever it is, but it's a different class. And you can just feel it, and I can feel it as the instructor. And it just, I all of a sudden amp it up a little bit, and everybody jumps in, and you feed off of one another. It's cool. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, you know, basically, you ask about the coaching, and, you know, I've often said, you know, why do we need team in training? Most of our riders started out with us, and they get a few every year. They've seldom ridden a bicycle. We don't get a lot of elite athletes, elite cyclists out there who are going to run 100 miles in 15.7 miles an hour, okay,
mm-hmm.
and climb 5,000 feet. All right. These are people such as myself who in 2010 had just bought my road bike in 2009, and I knew nothing about it. So I didn't know how to shift. I had trouble clipping in. I had trouble drinking while I was riding. I didn't know what to eat. The first time I did a 50-mile ride, I didn't eat anything. I figured that was okay, and I was wondering why the 1% grade was impossible to get up at mile number 49. It's called a bonk.
Yeah.
So we get into all of that with him. We have professional coaching. We teach you how to ride hills. We teach you how to clip and unclip properly. We teach you how to pace line. We teach you not to overlap your wheels. And the other thing is a TNC community. You get to meet really cool people like Ashley, okay? You get to meet incredibly people who are there and their motivation is the cause, which, of course, is to cure cancer, are pretty cool people. Very selfless. Most of them have gone beyond their comfort zone.
Yeah.
And when you see that, that's just amazing. We're somebody who at the beginning, and I'm here to tell folks that if you can do 25 miles, you can do 100.
Yeah.
If you get the miles in and you train.
I'm with you on that.
It's not hard.
It's all about breaking it down. And when you break it down, you break it down by my event date is this date right here. And then I have to work up to that. And then you back it up. That's how you do it. You just back it up. So if your event date for your 100-mile ride is August 9th, I'm just picking a off the top of my head, then 2 weeks before, you have worked yourself all the way up to at least an 85-mile ride. And then you back it down. The next weekend, you back it down. The next weekend, but basically what you do is you work backwards on your training.
Absolutely.
And you'd be surprised how easy it is when you make those short steps. I have a 10% rule, too. No more than 10% each week increase.
Yeah, and that's us. With at
and
least,
yeah. That seems to work. So it sounds like you're doing that.
We start off with 25, then we go to 30, mm-hmm. 35, 40,
perfect.
45, 50,
perfect.
55, 60. I think at 70, we jump to 80.
Yep.
And
which is reasonable.
And then we taper back. We used to do the Bloomin' Metric.
Oh, yeah.
But now that's the week we're in Tahoe. So we can't do that.
Oh, is it really? That's yeah. the same time, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. So this is coming up pretty soon then.
Yeah.
Really, you know, when you look at it.
Well, that's why we say people, we'll be out doing a 70-mile ride, and people say, oh, we're just getting started for the season. I'm like, yeah, we're just wrapping up.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
So
wow.
that's one place. And, you know, the California people, they're just wonderful people. And they get to train year-round, especially Southern Cali.
It's such a beautiful place, too. Lake Tahoe is gorgeous.
Oh,
when I rode my bike across the country, I rode right through South Lake Tahoe. We came up from Carson City. That's a climb, let me tell you. Ouch. That really hurt.
I can only imagine on a bike. Because
did you come up the Kingsbury grade?
I do believe so.
You're a very sick man.
It was brutal. It
yes.
was brutal. I couldn't believe how hard it was. Because we had not seen hills of that steepness since we left New England and you know, rode through Pennsylvania and, you know, all the we of course rode along the Appalachian Trail for some dumb reason because we didn't know what we were doing. But, you know, I mean, and you see some pretty serious climbs when you get into Pennsylvania and there's some ugly stuff. 3 miles up and 3 miles down is all I know of Pennsylvania. It's all just the same. Ugh.
Yeah, it's kind of like the northeast corner of Connecticut. You're constantly riding up and then you have a half a mile straight down.
Yep.
And then you start climbing all
then
over again.
Then you just start climbing again. Right.
Yes.
So Ashley, you're employed by LLS. Have you done any of the events?
I have. I've actually done 3 half marathons.
Ooh.
I've done Rock and Roll Savannah, Rock and Roll Denver, and Disney Wine and Dine.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm signed up for my 4th, so.
Wow. Well, you know, you're a youngster now, so I'm going to plant this in your brain right now just because, you know, I'm like that old wise something bike guy. And do you know what they call old runners?
New cyclists.
They call them cyclists. Yeah. Because eventually you will find that your body is going to have some rejection issues with the running.
So Billy keeps telling me that I'm going to have to get on a bike, but he also saw me drive. And if I ride a bike anything like I drive, you don't want me on a bike. So we'll see how that goes.
Do we have to wear full armor when riding with you?
Probably.
Okay.
Or I have to wear full armor.
I can fix that. I have ways of fixing that. I teach a lot of people how to ride. And you know, there are some basic skills which brought me into cycling. I was taught, and unfortunately, I was taught by a couple of veterans of bicycle racing, and they had been at it for a few years before me. A big shout out to Russell Marin and Scott Carter. They were very instrumental in getting me seriously involved in cycling, so that was a lot of fun. But they also taught me how to fall off my bike and not be totally damaged from it, and how to bump into people and not fall off my bike.
That would
and
be a good one.
All sorts of other really good things. So there's a lot of skills that I've learned and then I passed on to people if they're willing to learn. Otherwise, I have been told most recently I should just keep my mouth shut otherwise. But anyway, I do coach upon request.
Awesome. Well, chat.
So we'll chat. But yeah, once you get on the bike, it opens. You know, obviously, this is Bicycle Talk. I'm the ambassador of cycling. Billy is definitely right in the same realm here. We're a little obsessed with it, but it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. Once you get on the bike, your world will open up. You're going to see things differently. You're going to see the bike from a standpoint of, yes, this is something I can do recreationally and something that I can do for an extended period of time. And it certainly is better for my joints. You know, you talk to any doctor and they're going to say cycling and swimming. That's what they're going to say. And because they know that they're mostly non-impact sports, unless you hit your head on the end of the pool or you, you know, fall over on your bicycle. But those are rare occasions. But they're really good for your body. But the big thing is, and a lot of people figure this out later, even after they've maybe raced their bikes and been an enthusiast for all these years, it's transportation. So it's a way to increase your mobility and your independence at the same time. And you're not reliant on anything other than your own personal fitness. It's really cool. And I'm getting teary talking about it because it's definitely one of those things. So we need to get you on a bicycle. That is going to be a goal. You will be on a bicycle before the end of this
year. Can we
start
with training wheels?
We can start with whatever. We can start with a trainer if we have to.
Okay.
Whatever we need. We'll figure it out because I'm going to teach you. I can teach you what it's about, what cadence is all about, and why. I can teach you about pedal stroke and why it's not just pushing down on pedals. There's a whole revolution of power that's involved. There's a lot of things that are involved. But I can teach you all those things so that when you get out on the road, it'll all make sense. And if the road is not for you, then you can do the trails.
Now, will you please tell Ashley that I did not put you up to this?
Oh, you're thinking this is a setup, huh? Oh, I see. So, Billy, you've had this conversation with her in the past, I take it.
Yeah, well, you know, it was very funny because we were having a coaches meeting down at the Bridgeport Flyer Diner, which, by the way, if you like homemade corned beef hash, oh, my gosh. Anyway, Ashley got us turned on to that place, but she was listening to me, Paul, and Nat talk about some of the events we did when we were out in Tahoe. And, you know, and going on that, the event in Tahoe is phenomenal, where you see 3,000 people riding around the lake, half of them in purple with team and training. And you're just, if you've never been to the High Sierras, I'm not saying it's the Alps, I'm not saying it's the Rockies, but that and the lake is the bluest thing you've ever seen in your life.
It's gorgeous.
And the energy is just phenomenal that you get from all these people. And everybody's there. I mean, this is one of the few places where you really don't need a tube and a pump on your bike, because if you stop, there's going to be 15 people stopping to help you change your tire, which is really pretty amazing. But, so we were at this breakfast at the Bridgeport Flyer Diner. And Ashley's just looking at us with this beautiful smile on her face, just like that. And she's saying, you know, I don't ride a bike. I probably wouldn't be very good on a bike. But when I hear you guys talk, you make me want to ride a bicycle. So now we have no excuse, young lady.
I know.
It's now true.
Now
it's
the
all
pressure's
true.
On.
Yep. Okay. You got it.
Tahoe 2021.
You know, that's it. Just make the commitment and go to it. And you go with it, you know. It'll be fun. It'll be really, it's always fun. It's always fun. Like I said, and Billy will agree with this one too. When I'm on this, people ask me all the time, why do you like to ride your bike so much? You know, God, you're still riding your bike. I went to an event last night, and some people came up to me that I've known over the years. And I go, are you still riding your bike? And I go, well, yeah, of course I am. I'm always riding my bike. And they said, so why do you like to ride your bike so much? And this is a really simple thing. And anybody out here who's listening, and you know, we're all birds of a feather here, so it's a very like-minded radio show. But when I'm on my bike, the world is right. And that's my best explanation that I have of it. There's just something about it. I don't know how to explain it any other way. But when I'm on my bike, the world is right. And I have this, you know, crazy theory that if we were all on bicycles, the world would be a lot better place.
Probably.
Yeah. for so many reasons, I can't even begin to talk about it. I have a book at home, which I need to, now that I have some time, I need to start reading. And it was Bikeonomics, I think, was the name of the book. And it's all about how you can change the world with bicycles. And I'm interested to see and then hunt down the author and bring the author on the air with us, because it would be really fun to talk about it. But anyway, there's just so many good things about it. So and you know, now that you've acquired the athletic ability to do the events that you're doing, you're going to get on the bike and you're going to go, oh my God, I had no idea. And you're going to have the ability to do a lot more than a beginning cyclist would have.
Awesome.
So, yeah, because you already got the engine tuned up, you know? So now we just got to put the motor on a different vehicle.
Perfect.
Right. Okay. So we're not giving up on you.
All right.
If we can shame you on the air and have it recorded and then have people go back and go, but you said.
Oh, Billy's going to put this on Facebook and say that now he's going to hold me to it because he has proof. And.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Sure. And we'll just I can do some audio clips on this of certain things that were said. And we can put it, we can repeat it over and over again. We can torture you with this. We really can.
All right.
So
and we're just the guys to do it, too.
And we are. We have way too much time on our hands. But anyway, so Billy, what does Team in Training offer the participant?
Well, I think I kind of hinted to that somewhat, but I'll do
okay.
it again.
Yeah, hit you me know, up with that again.
Number one, we're going to give you. You know, we discussed fundraising. We didn't get into the amounts, and this is not the place for it. But
right.
We give you customized fundraising support. We give you a web page, okay?
All right.
It is so simple to figure out. Ron, even you could figure it out.
Oh, my God.
It's really amazing.
It must be simple.
And what I do on mine is I set up a blog, and I set up all of my training weeks and what I've been doing and what I'm talking and copies of the letters I've sent out, pictures of our rides, and I draw people in. I draw them into the adventure. And the next thing you know, hey, that's really kind of cool. Look what he did this week. You know, and I'll talk about our lousy spin instructors who kill us. And I used to complain about the coaches, but now, since I've become one, now they're not so bad. We do lie to you, though.
we say,
this is just a small hill. It's not that bad. It's not that long. Well, maybe that was the one after it. I don't know. And then you get done with the ride in Tahoe, and you're at the top of Spooner Hill, and you're coming down, and you think of the ride is over, and you say, you're all set. It's really not there. Well, there's five rollers that really are the five worst hills of your life. But we don't tell people that.
No, you don't want to do that.
No. But other than that, the fundraising support, we offer that. And I said, we offer the professional coaching. You know, we've all been trained and certified as to how to coach a team. We've all been trained. In fact, I just recently had to re-up my CPR and first aid credentials. So not saying you're going to get a heart attack, but if you do, there will be three coaches on the ride and plus about 100 or so other coaches out there who have all been trained as well. So that's pretty important. Like I said, if you can do 25 miles and you want to do the riding, we can get you to 100. And you don't have to do 100. You can do a metric century. You can do 35. We like to stress the 100 because when we came in, that's what you did.
Right, right. Well, the other thing is when you're doing your fundraising, when you tell somebody that you're going to do 25 miles, they go, okay, yeah, well, you know, that's okay. But when you tell them you're going to do 100 miles, they'll go, what?
Yeah.
Really?
Absolutely.
Sure, I'll give you X amount of dollars for doing 100 miles. I would do that just because either A, I don't think you can do it, and I want to lay a little money on this just to make sure that this happens. Or B, it's an impressive thing to ride your bicycle 100 miles. It's a long distance on a bicycle, and for a lot of the folks that are listening to Bicycle Talk and have been on their bikes for years, they go 100 miles. I do it all the time, but it's not for everyone. It
no,
really isn't.
Especially when you're out in Tahoe, like Billy said, there's hills. Like, it's not flat, and you're riding around a lake, so it's steep.
Oh, Ashley, we have steep hills in Connecticut.
We've got some hills.
We've got a ride in Litchfield. It's called the Tour of the Litchfield Hills.
Mm.
It's 100 miles, and Paul and I have done it a couple of times. And it's over 8,000 feet of climbing. So
that's a lot of climbing.
That's a lot of climbing. So
100
miles.
So you're like traveling. That's you're probably like almost 70 feet a mile.
Yeah,
something like that. Something really.
Actually, 8,000 feet would be 80 feet per mile.
80 feet per mile.
Yeah,
right.
See,
for 100 miles. Right. Yeah, there you go.
Get how it works.
Hello.
Now.
I did that. That's why I didn't go to engineering school.
So you guys do realize you're trying to get me to do this, right?
Like, No.
We can bring you in gently. We really can. We can do that.
We can start off at the 72 or the...
Or whatever, yeah, whatever you can handle or whatever you think you might want to handle.
Yeah, don't worry about
because
it.
Because it should be... The key here is, and this is the big key, I'm working with someone right now who I am... I'm actually training someone right now, and he wants to do his first triathlon, and it's going to be a sprint. And he said, I just don't want to get crazy. I had an interview with him the other day, and I just wanted to know what he wanted to get out of it and, if he had any goals or whatever. And he said, I don't care how fast I go. I really don't. That really, he said, I just want to have fun. So I took his sheet, which I was writing things down on, and I put in big letters, F-U-N, because that was the right answer. And that's the key. You want to have fun. So you make it fun.
Absolutely.
You know, you go out and ride with Billy and Fran and I, and you're going to be singing songs, and, you know, you're just, we're a different crowd.
We are.
And but we like to have fun, but we also really like to ride our bikes and you know, and stay fit, and it's all good stuff. It's all really good stuff.
You know, it's funny, and because I'll say that, you know, as I've said several times on this radio show, I said, if you do the training and you get the miles in, we can get you to 100 miles. The other thing, too, is you can do the 100 miles. And we've had people who have gone out and just done the weekend rides.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done the 100 miles. Here's the difference.
Mm.
Doing the 100 miles, enjoying the 100 miles.
Exactly.
You come in after 100 miles, after you've done the training, your butt's not as sore.
Right.
You know, your shoulders aren't hunched over because they're not tense. You know, you're not cramping. Every 5 miles, the last 5 miles, which we see a lot of out there, and you can tell these are the people who did not train properly because they are cramping.
Well, someone said to me, we don't train to actually participate in the event. We train for the after the event, so you're not as sore.
Party.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's good. So it's the tailgate happens after the event, right? Is that the idea?
We have fun afterwards.
Yeah. That's good. So, Ashley, what are your team's goals as far as fundraising goes?
So for Tahoe, we have Team Remission, which Billy, as you said, is the team captain for, and their goal this year is to raise over 100K. So it's a pretty, I would say it's as steep as some of the hills out there in Tahoe, but we came pretty close last year. We raised 92,000 last year. So
93,000.
And
it's
a
lot.
It's a lot.
It's really wonderful.
We have one of the highest rates, and most of our money that we raise goes right back to the research and right back to the mission. So that's amazing, and that's their goal this year, is to hit that 100K.
That's excellent. And how did you land at Team in Training? What brought you here? Because I know what brought Billy here, but brought you here?
So what brought me here? I was in between jobs. My previous job had restructured and kind of let some positions go, and I coached cheerleading. And one of my dads came up to me and said, hey, like, can you bear with me? I have two kids in the league, and my wife has cancer. And that was obviously the first time I have ever had that experience. We went through, and about 4 weeks into the season, she unfortunately passed away. Hmm. And about 2 weeks after that, I saw an opening for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society and Team in Training. And I actually called him and I said, do you have any experience with this? And he goes, we've done the Light the Night walks, and it's an amazing organization. I said, should I apply? And he goes, absolutely. If you want a recommendation, like, you, this would be a perfect fit for you. So that's kind of my story on how I got here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, it's a big deal. It's pretty cool. So I don't know whether maybe either one of you could answer this question. What's the profile of your typical rider that is going to do Team in Training?
I'll let Billy take that one.
Okay.
Thank you. Well, I kind of alluded to that before. We don't have a lot of stellar athletes,
mm-hmm.
elite athletes, the guys who want to do 20 miles an hour for 100 miles in the High Sierras. We don't have a lot of that. We have a couple of riders who could probably do that. All right. But most of the people who come in are, well, people like me, you know, people in their midlife crisis in their mid-50s, all right, who stopped smoking and decided, I'm taking the money I'm spending on cigarettes and buying a bicycle. I'm going to try to do something with my life. And, you know, the cause was very important to me due to a family member. I wanted to ride in her honor. But it was, I'm pretty typical. Women who are, their kids are gone. They were professional mothers there for a while.
Right. All right. And so they've moved on. And now
they want to try something. They want to get back into shape. They want to meet some. I don't have any kids, but when, you know, you're raising kids and taking them to soccer and going everywhere and that, yes, you have a kind of a circle of friends. that all of a sudden that circle of friends may or may not be there. Well, I can tell you right now, through team and training, I've made friends for life. Nat and Paul, I've known for over 10 years each. And Paul or Nat, I would, I'm not going to do it, but I would lay down and die for them. I really would. I would do anything they asked. They will be my friends for the rest of my life. And that's what we typically get. I mean, in fact, I just did a quick calculation. The average age of our team, average,
okay,
is 58 years old.
Whoa.
Yeah, okay. Not what you would say, oh, these guys are out there. This is a team we want to put in the Tour de France or the Giro d'Italia.
No,
it's not going to happen.
No.
All right. There are six of us over 60. Okay?
Okay.
We have a couple of young people in there who have really screwed up the average, and we've got to get rid of Ben and Emily for next year. I mean, that's it.
They're blowing your curve.
They're blowing the curve. And I think 1 year we were the oldest average age team, but they wouldn't give us an award for that. And but that's what we're looking for. You know, and what you have is, and that's because people in our age who are looking for something to stay in shape, who are looking for a good cause, and we have a circle of friends.
Yeah, the other part of that, too, is as we get older, we start to see a lot more things happening around us with people that we've mm-hmm. known over the years. Maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a friend, whatever it may be. And you start understanding the vulnerability of life. And, you know, and so you look at things from a different perspective as you get older.
And not only that, I mean, my fundraising is real simple. I have an email list, and I like to write, and I send out a lot of emails. And I keep harassing my donors until they just kind of scream uncle. And
they either
give him a donation, and he'll stop sending us emails.
Stop sending you things.
Yeah.
So what do you need to do to sign up for something like this? How do you get involved in this?
So you can obviously give me a call, and I don't know if this is the time to give my number, but I can do that.
We can do that now, sure.
Okay, so you can give me a call. It's 203-388-9177. That's my direct line. Or you can go to lls.org/teamintraining. And it really lists all of our events that we have. So maybe we usually do two cycling events a year, and then obviously we have the triathlons, Ironmans, marathons, and things like that. Or you can always shoot me an email as well, which is ashley.ford, like the car, @lls.org. And any of those ways you can get a hold of me, and I can help you get signed up for one of these rides.
That's great. That's great. Did you mention a website of some sort?
Yeah, it's lls.org/teamintraining.
All right. We'll hit that again in a little bit. So that's great. And anybody can do this.
Anyone.
There are no restrictions.
There's no restrictions. And I'm glad you said that, because we really do like to tell people that whether you've been on a bike before, whether you've run before, you can do this. We give you all of the tools. And I always say, like, if you don't cross the finish line, it's kind of your own fault, because we gave you all of the tools to do it. So,
yep, that's fair. So, this is going to bring me to the next thing here. I'm staring across the board here at Billy's shirt, and he has a sweatshirt on. It says, "What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Except for bears. Bears will kill you." And this is a Lake Tahoe shirt that you got?
That's it. This was a year, being the team captain and the coach. My team gave me this 2 years ago.
How nice of them.
Oh, I thought so. It was just wonderful. And
they didn't send you so that the bears would come find you, too, did they?
But it was really funny, because it was 1 year where we were doing, don't laugh, we were doing Spooner Hill twice. And Spooner Hill is about an 8-mile climb, comes at mile 85. Not a great time for an 8-mile climb. But I said, if you give me $10,000 this year, I'll do Spooner Hill twice. Well, they did. And we go across this meadow, which is about a mile from the top, and there in the meadow was a black bear.
Okay.
Yes, there are only black bears out in Tahoe. They might have a brown cast to them, but they're a variation of the black bear. And we went up. So then we came back down, and the bear was still there. And then we came back up again, and the bear was still there, and it wasn't moving. So we were convinced it was either stuffed or chained there.
Yeah.
But people say, oh, did you see the bear? I said, 3 times.
Yeah.
So, but yes, there are bears out there, and they will usually leave you alone.
Yeah, I would think that they would be a little shy.
They tend to, but they found a place. There's a place called Incline Village in Nevada, where there was a bear that would come out there. His name was Bubba, and he found the trash cans. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. They're really looking for food, more than anything else. And they'll tell you we occasionally will have a bear issue out at where else? Bear Mountain out in the western part of the state, and it's almost always because someone was not paying attention to the general rules of not keeping food in their tent or in their, you know, any place where a bear might scent it. So that can happen.
Well, but going up,
bears happen.
Don't have to go that far. We just go up. Well, I live in New Britain. We've had a bear in our backyard three times.
That's right. But they're starting to come to, they're starting to come into the local backyards, aren't they?
There's a road out of Riverton, and you've probably ridden it. It's up Route 20 into East Heartland.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we do that on something we call the cookie ride. That's our 65-mile ride. So you're going to learn how to climb. And this ride actually simulates a lot of the roads in Tahoe, which is kind of cool, actually. And that's what got me in shape of my first Tahoe. Nonetheless, we were halfway up, and I looked behind me. I was looking for somebody behind me. And there was a nice big brown bear just kind of meandering up the road, going dum-da-dum-da-dum-da-dum. I says, okay. Thank God he decided he didn't want to take off after me. So
that's not a Tahoe story. That's a local story.
That's a local story.
How about that?
That's local, but it's
part of the
training.
Do you have any other Tahoe stories, or have we pretty much covered that?
Probably the most meaningful Tahoe story. This is my first year, 2010. It was a beautiful morning. We came up, and we're coming to the switchbacks, which is our first climb. And I came up on a lady. She had a picture on the back, and it said, Tyler. And that was her son. And I said, how is Tyler? And she said to me, he's been in remission for 8 months. Thank you for asking. At which point, we both started crying.
Mm. Oh,
and
yeah.
If you don't cry three times in Lake Tahoe, you're missing something. And that's all I can say. I get very emotional every time I think of her.
It's a great story.
Yeah.
It's a great story. Awesome. Okay, folks, my special guests today have been Billy Dujac and Ashley Ford. And I want you to once again run by the contact information that we need from you to get in contact with the team of training.
Yeah, so my phone number is 203-388-9177. My email, ashley.ford, like the car, at lls.org. And our website is lls.org/team-in-training.
Awesome. That's great. Well, thank you both for being here again. Thank you, Billy, for dragging her kicking and screaming here. So I know it wasn't that hard. But anyway, it's great to have you here, and you're welcome back on the show at any time. Maybe as we get closer to your event, we can talk again.
That would be great.
Okay, great. I'm going to move on here to my events section here. We've got a few events coming up, one which is pretty soon, Saturday, February 22nd in West Hartford, Connecticut. It's at 23 South Street, West Hartford, Connecticut, and it's the CCAP Winter Swap Meet and Tag Sale. And your old friend Peddlin' Ron will be there, and it's a bicycle swap meet. So anything that you have that's bicycles and you want to do something with them and maybe not have them in your house anymore and bring them somewhere where they'll find a new home and a happier home than what you have, then you can bring them on over there. You can get in touch with those folks at 860-295-4030, or you can go to the event website, which is ctbikes.org, or you can also go to Bike Reg and sign up there too. On March 15th through the 17th, Safe Streets for Everyone, the 21st annual National Bike Summit in Arlington, Virginia and Washington, D.C. You'll find out more about that by going to the Bike League. That's bikeleague.org/summit. And you will find out more about what's going on there. Get involved, get active, get political. Yeah, it's a good thing. You want things to change for cycling? You got to open your mouth and you got to get out there and do it. On July 26th, the only other thing I have on my calendar right now, and I know there's a lot more, so please feel free to get a hold of me when you've got your information, and I will put it on the calendar. The 9th annual Thread City Cyclers Century Ride is on July 26, 2020. Come explore the roads that Peddlin' Ron and Fran ride on. And Billy, too. Billy rides with us. So anyway, Keep that, mark that one on your calendar. It's a great event. There's awesome roads out here. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. My name is Pedlin Ron, and you have been listening to Bicycle Talk without my co-host, the lovely Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you've been listening to this live or on podcast, you'd like to comment, send me an email. Bicycle Talk, the numeral one, at gmail.com. And you can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, and now on Spotify. If you have a comment or would like to contribute information to the show or be on the show as a guest, send me an email, bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com. This is Pedlin Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS, Storrs.